Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, May the 22nd, 145th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor out of the 5th, Mr. Sundberg. How you doing, guy?
I'm doing well, my friend. How are you?
Good, good, but I haven't been out in the sunshine today. Well, yeah, I have been.
I just got back from Hoopah, and it was beautiful over there.
Good. So now we've got Fortuna competing against Hoopah for sunny, lovely...
I don't think there's a competition.
Spoken like a true representative. Well, then you got the Trinidad factor. How are you going to whip that one out?
Oh, it's foggy there. It's pretty.
No love for Trinidad. Okay.
You get me in trouble.
Yeah, I think we just already accomplished that one. This afternoon, we'll spend a couple of minutes talking about a few different items. Obviously, we got the three-day weekend coming up, so we'll find out what the Sundberg family is doing. In addition to that, also, there's been final resolution, well, at least this cycle, with the Freedom of Information Act and the blah, blah associated with that. So we'll talk about that. We heard from Rex, Supervisor Rex, last week going into the resolution. And now that that has occurred, we'll spend a little bit of time there. And also, so there's some changes if you happen to be a sports fisherman on the Trinity. Yeah, you may want to pay attention to that segment of the show also as things are changing around a little bit there as well. So we got a full plate and we'll start to empty it when we...
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. But before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Harry Toscano.
Handpicked by me.
Yes. Well, actually emulated by you from what I understand. Quote, and this is about golf. And that's a loose four-letter word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Golf for you?
I used it.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm hitting the woods just great, but I'm having a terrible time getting out of them. You know, that's almost like a management phrase, as much as anything. It just, yeesh. Yeah, can't see the forest for the trees. But I got those trees zeroed in, so good. Oh, geez. So the resolution of this whole Freedom of Information Act issue, claim, request, HUM CPR, or various other groups, because I'm sure it's been other groups also over the years. What's going to be the legacy of this process?
Well, I think that we will. Well, this certain one has. There was a pending court case in L.A. County, and what it was about was the attorney fees for current litigation that was going on. They wanted to know if they could have that information, and it wasn't tested yet, and it was being tested in court down there. And so, as soon as it was finished and the court said that you do need to give that information, then we decided to give it up. But the suit was already filed. And then after that, we decided that we just wanted to get it done with. And we talked to our counsel, and we actually just reported this out a couple weeks ago, so I can talk about this now. But the minimum that the county was going to get away with paying for attorney fees, since we had lost that portion of the case, was around $120,000. He said it could go up to about $160,000 and possibly a lot more. So we settled for $100,000. And so, you know, and on the advice of our counsel, our legal counsel, we thought that was the best we could do. And it wasn't worth going to court anymore and getting more attorney fees built up, plus pay our attorney, Bill Bragg, So it was, I think it was the best resolution, and, you know, trying to get the county out of that suit and move on.
Yeah, there's nothing like that old business axiom, let's throw good money after bad.
Yeah.
Just kind of choke on that as a concept. And yet a lot of folks will have a tendency to do that, either bravado, ego, not wanting to admit that they made a bad decision early on. When you look at this particular situation, okay, taken care of, are there other lawsuits that this might be a good lesson to apply to in their situations?
Well, I mean, if it makes sense, we always do this. And we've done it before since I've been there. One was with the Housing for All group that we did pretty much the same thing. And, you know, sometimes it's no fun. You know, it's just not a lot of fun to have to pay something like that out and wish that you weren't in that situation. But sometimes it's the way it is in government. And, you know, we've changed the way we do public records request acts now. We have a new person on staff, Sean Quincy, out of the CAO's office, and that's his primary duty is to respond to public records request acts. And hopefully, you know, we'll do a good job going forward and avoid any members of the public who think that we're not getting it to them quick enough. We want to be transparent. We want to give them the information that we can. And, you know, I know that our whole board is pretty, we've told our staff, you know, we want to give this information out. We want to make sure that the public gets whatever they need to, you know, to make sure that we're doing our jobs.
It seems to me like there would be two elements of this that could be the result, if you will. The first one, obviously, is get the information out if we're supposed to get the information out. The second one, which I think is almost more critical, is the perception/reality that you're getting the information out, having the structure in place and then seeing it actually being adhered to. Mm-hmm. So then some of these goofies that want to make a claim, we can stand by and say, no, this is what we have, this is the process. You have to adhere to the process, and if you don't, I'm sorry. You know, it's like somebody asking for a building permit, but they don't submit their plans. Guess what? Mm-hmm. You're not going to get your permit. You want the information. You follow the process. You get the information.
Yeah. I mean, it should be really simple, really. It's, you know, you know what you want. You ask for it, and then the law says that the county should even help you out to make sure that you know what you're asking for. And we go find the information and we give it to you, you know, and you pay for the copying cost of that, and everyone has a nice day. You know, it's not a real mind-bending process that we need to go through. It's just, you know, you want the information, here it is.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 3:19. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our communities.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, we talked a little bit about, in the first segment, the information request process. Now, there seemed to be a little bit of discussion during the public hearing, or the public portion of that, about whether or not this was something to do, something not to do. Should this become precedent setting? Should it not become precedent setting? What was the result of all that discussion? Is it now locked in with the process that you were alluding to, or are there other things that came out of that?
Yeah, the lawsuit down in LA County basically just told us what we have to do. You know, so it is precedent setting in that from now on and forever, for every county, you have to provide that information.
How to handle requests?
Well,
how
to handle this one was request lawsuits. For pending litigation.
Okay, but let's say somebody makes a claim for XYZ, and there's $5 signs associated with it. Okay, does any of the process that you guys went through with this transfer into any potential settlement of any lawsuits that the county might be looking at, or is each one just kind of judged on its own merits, and you have to reinvent the wheel each time?
If you ask Sean how he does it, I'm sure it's individual. You know, some of them are run of the mill. Some of them they probably have to ask, you know, someone who, you know, asks the department, you know, is this something you have, or is this something you can? Sometimes people ask for things that don't exist. You know, they think that we have things that we don't, and
you mean, it's reported beyond budget hearing time.
Oh yeah. So. But yeah, I think they probably have to take them individually, because I don't know how you would carte blanche just say, we'll give you everything, because it's, you know, sometimes the information just isn't in the form that they're asking for. It just doesn't, you know, we just don't keep track of it.
Attorney fees. Okay, let's say if we as a result of this, if we get to the point where our outside counsel costs hit $100,000, hit $50,000, hit a figure, it doesn't matter what it is. At that point, that then triggers, ba-doom, whatever it is, a review from county council, a review from the supervisors, authorization to continue, some kind of a checkoff that goes, yeah, we're going to keep going, or no, we're not. Because I could see, with a proper scenario, your attorney costs could go into the millions of dollars, and if you guys aren't brought into the equation with some kind of a formal thumbs up or thumbs down on it, hey, game on.
They don't spend money like that without asking us. It's always, I don't know if you notice every week how many closed sessions we have on our agenda.
I figured that was when the donut showed up. No?
Nope.
Okay.
No, I'm usually starving and grouchy by then and trying to get out of there, but that's what we talk about is stuff like that. Whenever you see litigation that's on there, most of the time it's to figure out, you know, in some certain case of how much have we spent, how much should we give them up to, you know, if it goes over this, we want to know, and should it come back next time, and, you know, all this gets discussed, and the five of us try and figure out the best way forward, and with the help of our counsel to try and figure out, you know, what's the most cost-effective thing to do in this situation.
So it's not necessarily an update on the legal status of something. It's more of the business side of whatever the situation is.
Most of the time it's both.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Most of the time it's both. It's, you know, could be.
How shocking was that when you started getting into the routine on that one, going, we do this how often? There's how much stuff going on? We're doing what?
It's, you know, coming from another government that I was at, I know.
Well, that's right. You're kind of a trough swimmer, aren't you?
Yeah, and it's, yeah. So I understand how it works, and I know how unfun it can be. So, yeah, it wasn't a big shocker, just on a different level.
Yeah, a couple more zeros here, a couple more there, yeah.
A couple thousand more people and a couple more zeros, and you're good to go.
When you talk to your peers, and I'm sure you've got a couple of buddies now in other counties, is the amount of litigation that Humboldt County is going through, is it a lot more than somebody else? Comparable? Is it a lot less? Do we tend to be more litigious in our area?
You know, I don't know. I haven't really asked that question to people outside. And That's a good question. I should. I'm going to put that on my list to do.
Ooh, I just, made the to-do list, huh? Yeah.
Well, it's a good question, and I just, the things that come to us, or every time they come to us, they're legit, and it's not like you have a choice and say, well, you know, some other county's not having this much, so the way that I look at it is you have to take care of what you got to take care of, but it would be interesting to know if other counties go through kind of, you know, the same thing, or if, and maybe you learn a way to avoid something before it comes.
That's what I was thinking. Best practices might be able to avoid some of this stuff. And you probably wouldn't necessarily want to talk to the department heads.
No, I think the supervisors in the other areas would know. And I'm actually going to a conference this next week, and there'll be supervisors from all over at this thing. And that's a really good time to ask a question like that. So.
Good deal.
Good job, Brian.
All right, baby. I may not be outside in the sun, but I'm still hot stuff. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:30.
May is Mattress Month, and where do more of your friends buy mattresses? Vern's Furniture. Take advantage of competitive pricing on the new Serta iComfort mattresses, the latest in sleep comfort with cool memory foam. Or save up to 50% on closeout mattress models from Englander. Save on Serta Perfect Sleeper mattresses, and choose 18 months no interest financing on the mattress set of your choice at Vern's Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka. Now's the time to buy during Mattress Month at Vern's.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, sometimes things change, sometimes things don't change. When we talk about access on the river, I know in the past about fishing, sports, commercial, recreational, and those seem to be the three delineations. When we're talking about limits, when we're talking about access, when we're talking about river flow, when we're talking about any of that kind of stuff. Is the picture of the river access or access to the fish in the river, is that a, not fait accompli, but is the model pretty well set, or does it still kind of have some nuances and changes and variables that people need to be aware of?
Well, I just actually got back from a meeting and was out in Hoopaw, and they've had some problems.
That's Sunny Hoopaw.
Sunny Hoopaw.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
They had some problems with people that were leaving a lot of trash and just not being respectful of the property. And
slobs?
I think even more intentional than that, breaking windows, prying open
vandalism.
Bathrooms. Yeah, that and just leaving garbage around and, you know, just not being respectful. And so they have decided to know who is using their property. And they.
Now, this is on the reservation or is this just on the river anywhere?
Just the reservation, yeah. So they have decided that they're going to do a permitting system. And so they're permitting businesses and. They are working on one for sport fishermen, guides, and I did talk to them, and they said that if you want to fish in Hoopaw, you can do that. You just need to go to the forestry department and get a map so they can show you where the access points are, you know, so you're not driving down someone's personal driveway that has a, you know, that's their property.
That has a gun. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, pay attention.
Yeah, so it's in your best interest. But go to the forestry department. It's behind the high school, and they will set you up.
So that works for the reservation itself. What about the other elements or points on the river? I mean, some are public property, some are private property. Mm-hmm. I would like to think most people, if they're doing something improper, that it's not an overt act, that they just, it may be ignorance or lack of knowledge.
Yeah, I think there's some just really rude people that don't care and they leave their stuff around. But I think for the most part, there's probably more people who do care and go behind them and pick it all up. You know, I know that people that I was just with out in the meeting in Hoopa, they're having a river cleanup day coming up. So, you know, there's people that also care enough to go and do that.
Also, it doesn't have to be coordinated with the Earth Day events that happen all over the country.
No.
You can do those independently?
Can you believe it?
I'm going to have to look that up and make sure it's on the internet so I can believe it. Yeah, right. I know this is going to sound stupid, but, you know, it's stupid me.
I've known you long enough.
Yeah, okay. Next. How were the relations between the governmental entities and the Indian structure in Hoopa? I mean, anybody who's been around for a period of time knows some of the history. We're not hearing a lot of the stuff that used to happen. Are things that much better?
Well, I'd like to think they are. I think we have a really good relationship with them, and they, do we agree on every single thing? No, but for the most part, we all care about the same things, and you know, Humboldt County cares about the same things they care about, and I think most of it is just showing respect for each other, and you know, understanding where they're coming from, understanding where we're coming from, and I think it does help that I know them really well, and I can go talk to them and just say, hey, what's going on with this? Help me out with this,
The history and the knowledge of the players.
And my uncle Garth is really good friends with Chairman Maston, and so that, you know, now I know him pretty well, and it just works well, and they want to be good neighbors and good community partners, and so do we, and so I think it works well.
So was that lacking historically over the decades? Is that why it had been as tension filled as it seemed to be?
I don't know if it was. I think probably, if I was being honest with you, most of it just comes down to how well you communicate with each other. And if you have people who don't want to take the time to go communicate and take, you know, and spend the time and the effort, and Hoopa's, you know, an hour and a half drive there and back for me, you know, so it's not an easy thing to do. You just have, but it's a necessary thing to do if you want. When issues come up, if you want them to take care, you know, want to take care of them quickly, you have to spend that time.
You mean get out of the office?
I hate being in the office.
Yeah. So do I. That's why I'm so jealous that you were in Hoopa earlier. Really. Thanks for the pickup, man. Mm-hmm. KINS, News and Information, Times 341. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:44. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, how much involvement do the supervisors have, not in overseeing, but paying attention for department heads?
A lot, yeah. I mean, we are their direct supervisors, and the structure that Humboldt has set up, you know, we don't have a CEO or
Would Phil just kind of walk out of the building, or what?
Well, we have a CAO.
Okay, yeah. Fine. Chief, so you got the C and the O.
Yeah, we don't have a chief executive office. We don't have a U. So.
And aren't we all thankful for that, huh?
Well, we've got five of you. Even scarier.
Panic!
So, I think it's one of our big responsibilities is to know what's going on, and we have changed our system to now where we do evaluations for every single one every single year, so we can tell them how it's going. And it's not only the right thing to do for us, but it's the right thing to do for the employee too, because if you don't tell them what's working well and what's not working, it's not really fair for that department head to not know that information every single year.
Particularly if you're spending your mornings in Hoopa.
Yeah.
Time crunch is kind of a little rough there for you, huh?
Yeah, but I think it's really important that we do spend that time doing that.
You don't even recognize the hook has been set and...
Oh, you pull on it?
Yeah, I got you now.
Okay, what?
Traffic intersections. Street lights, stoplights, whatever you want to call them. You got a fair number of them in McKinleyville. We've got one that we use pretty regularly between the house and here. Happens to be Harrison, so half is county and half is city, so can't ever do anything simple. So
we'll just blame it all on the city.
On the county side where the issue seems to happen most often.
Dang it.
I know. Blowing through intersections. The one I'm thinking of particularly is Booner and Harrison, but I'm sure McKinleyville has got some.
You're talking
also
about people running red lights?
Oh, it's not even running a red light. It's not that close.
What is it?
This is more like deciding to merge with a green light. It's like a 2, 3, 4 second boom, and then they're shooting through. Has the county ever considered the little cameras up on top that, and I know Caltrans has them, because I've got buddies who've been busted on it. Taking the pictures of anybody who goes through the lights. We've got it. Doesn't happen too much at Harrison and Harris. And for folks who don't know, half of Harrison is in the city limits of Eureka. Half is in the county. Neither one either wants to give up or give away. I'm not sure which one it is, the jurisdiction. So we've got this weird little thing. And there are three sets of stoplights along Harrison, the one at Myrtle out here closest to where the studios are. Literally, it can be a 5 or 6 count. I mean, it's not even close.
You mean after it turns red, people
are
still going through it?
Well, you know, I'm coming down the hill. May as well continue because they have the view shed to see up Harrison. And if there's not a car already starting to move out, I mean, it's not even hitting the brakes. I mean, it's just maybe the accelerator more than anything.
Oh.
The one at Booner and Harrison this morning happened. A pickup truck, I didn't get the license plate, sorry. And not even close, and not even thinking to look where the oncoming traffic might be. Just phew, as if they couldn't see the light. I mean, it was that kind of egregiousness. Saw it in McKinleyville over the weekend. I mean, part of it's sloppy driving, inattentiveness, all that kind of stuff.
I've never seen it happen in McKinleyville.
Okay, well, sorry. Sunny Hoopaw and perfect McKinleyville.
Yeah,
okay.
I think this is just Eureka.
Okay. If you put those cameras up and then hit people with a $500 fine, I bet you all of a sudden we have compliance. What would it take for the county to do something, maybe not $500, maybe $1,000, take your pick, I mean, whatever to change behavior, to make that investment, to do it, and then to deal with the blowback?
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't had anybody ask me that.
You can't do that to me, man.
No, I'm being
honest. That's two in one show.
I'm being honest. No one has said anything about running red lights to me.
And, really?
No.
And maybe Downey gets
honestly,
them all, huh?
And I honestly don't see them that often in McKinleyville. I mean, every once in a while, but...
only when Eurekans come north?
Yeah, it must have been a Eureka person. But on the concept, I mean, I would assume that would be expensive. So we'd have to find somewhere to borrow that money and then repay it back with the fines that you get, which would probably work. I guess Tom Mattson would know a lot better than I would.
But, well, I'm thinking going back to the lawsuit stuff that we spent the first half of the show about. If there's a collision, if it's in the county, 9 out of 10 times you guys are going to be listed.
Think we get listed on those?
Not too often.
Not someone running a red light. No.
Okay. Unless
if one of our county vehicles.
Well, if county vehicles
bumps
involved,
into somebody or whatever.
Okay. Well, talking with the cops, they often say the jurisdiction is listed just out of routine, and maybe it gets dismissed real quickly.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Yeah. But what does it take to have something of that level occur from the community up, rather than the department head down?
I guess if someone started doing petitions or talking to their supervisor I've never had one person ask me about it. And so usually if no one asks me about it, I figure there's not a problem. But sometimes there's a problem and probably nobody's ever talked to me about it. So I guess if it, you know, if there was a groundswell of people and you start getting the supervisors on board, we could, you know, we could have our public works department look into it, see what kind of grants there are out there or loans, and then check with Phil and see what the process would be to collect the fines, where they would go, how it would be set up, how the loan would be repaid, and make sure that it all penciled out at the end.
So if there's enough noise, we have a chance.
That's pretty much what I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, well,
the squeaky wheel, something like that.
I'll keep chewing on you. Thanks for coming by, bud.
All right, thanks. Have a good day.
We've been talking. What?
Okay, don't.
Thank you. I hate that phrase. KINN. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love.
You just said it.